Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, lie about you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be excited, because great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Matthew 5.
Friends, welcome once again. I want to just introduce my wife, Ainsley Harmon, to you. And this is our summer series. Today ends the message we've been enjoying all summer long. But before we get into the Word of God, Ainsley and I just feel it's very important we pray what's going on in Florida. Last Sunday, our president of our nation, President Trump, asked for a national day of prayer for what was happening in Houston. Who would have thought we are here at it again? Matter of fact, the Pachecos are here. There we are, Stephen and Tammy from Florida. They moved there, so we know they're safe. Hey, everybody. Matter of fact, would you make your way down here real quick? Are the twins down here too? Yeah? Yeah. We're going to use you as a point of reference. We text Annie, and my cousin lives there. His home's all boarded. We had a man here from Florida. We could go on. Everybody have somebody they know in Florida. We need to be praying for them. And our churches, our Four Square churches. So let's just use Stephen and Tammy as our point of reference, and Ainsley's going to lead us in prayer.
Father, right now we are humbled and our hearts are tender at the prospect of what's happening to so many people in Florida right now, and people in Houston and Texas and different states have also been affected recently. Lord, we pray that this would be the hour of your provision, that this would be the time that your church would arise to love and care for those that are needing their help. We pray, Lord, that you would protect the people in Florida. We pray that you would especially protect them physically, emotionally, and that you would bring spiritual health and life to every person in Florida. We pray that this disaster would be turned for the glory of the Lord, that many people would turn their hearts and their minds to you, that they would call on the name of the Lord and they would be saved. We pray, Lord, that there will be many, many Christians who reach out to Christian and non-Christian alike, letting their light shine as we learn about in your word. Lord, being that salt, being that light at a time of great need, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be the body of Christ. And we cover our friends, we cover your body, and we cover, Lord, those other people in Florida who don't know you yet. Lord, may salvation come to that state. May salvation come to the United States of America. And we thank you for using this tragedy and this disaster to bring help and hope and light to the lives and hearts of people all over. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Very good.
Yay.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You're dead.
So we've had a long road of infertility issues and resulted in us adopting our son Ryder, who's related to Mike and Holly Romley. We did in vitro and had miraculous twins that we couldn't imagine ever having, let alone how amazing it is. And out of nowhere, unbeknownst, I don't know how, Tammy's pregnant. And there was, in the past, a ruptured ectopic pregnancy very early in our marriage, and somehow she ovulated from that same side where the tube was gone, and now the ultrasound tech said, this is where it came from. She goes, yeah. How does this happen? And
there's a like miracle.
13 people out of 1,000.
Yeah. Happens.
We're here in California because Ryder's grandparents renewed their wedding vows. This was a scheduled trip, and we couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
Praise God.
Crazy to think that we're here.
Yeah. It's crazy to think.
It's
no accident,
no,
is it? Yeah. Praise God.
His grandparents renewed their vows. They were married here.
Yeah.
When you think about it, it's very supernatural.
Well, why don't you just go boo-hoo in your seat, and then we just love you. We thank you. It's just great. Super. Congratulations. Yeah. Lord, bless that miracle mama and her wonderful father and husband. Amen, in Jesus' name. Well, we're sure excited because it's an amazing thing what you just saw. We even had a miracle first service, did we not? Just a person instantly healed. And we're sure grateful for that. Well, we'll wait till she brings her testimony. How many feel like you've had God do something of a miracle in your own life? You just know it was God. And we're not just talking healing. We're just, something happened in relationships. Something came together that you just didn't anticipate. That miracle provision, that unusual job, or somebody that you just know, love, and have been praying for have come to faith in Jesus. Would we just put our hands together? Let's thank the Lord for that. It's just wonderful. Absolutely phenomenal. Praise God. And so with that, I want to just thank you for being here once again. I have my Bible in hand. If you don't happen to have your Bible, and if you need and would like one, please raise your hand. We would love to put a Bible in your hand. If you don't have a Bible at home, we welcome you to take one of our church Bibles and just enjoy that. We would love to have you have a Bible at home. And we couldn't think of a finer place for you to say, hey, I got my Bible at Hope Chapel. Well, we're looking at the tail end of our summer series. The series was Entering the Kingdom. Our year theme is all about this. 2017, we go with themes, and that theme is God's kingdom seen in 2017. So this series now wraps up, and it's the sermon series that Jesus said, the Beatitudes. It was the Sermon on the Mount. I'm inviting you to find the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament. So if you just kind of look a little bit more, almost two-thirds through the Bible, you'll find Matthew. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We love seeing the word in print. That's so vital for faith to raise to the occasion. We want to encourage you to just find Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at verse 10. We're going at verse 10. Verse 12, so Lord, thank you for opening our hearts to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us personally, because we know other people would rely on us to be all we can for not only society, but Lord, for you. And Lord, thank you for Stephen and Tammy's testimony. We just speak a blessing on this baby that they're expecting. It's going to be a wonderful occasion in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see I'm still thinking about you guys. I'm telling you, it just rolls right out. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10, Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Kind of like we had with the six water baptism candidates. Man, it was a good work they just did, and a lot of glory went to God. But let me just lay it out here before we actually hit our message, because you can see on the back of the bulletin is today's message, which is entitled Prepping for Persecution. We hit a little bit of that last week. We're going to wrap things up. What I want to just have us all look at, what is important, is that persecution, basically, it's inevitable. Man, it's just, there's a clashing between two irreconcilable societies, cultural values. In other words, the values of God's kingdom, when it comes in contact with the values of this world, when they mingle, it's called persecution. When you start to take a look at what Jesus is laying out for us in the Beatitudes, the attitudes, change starts taking place in a person's life. They start to all of a sudden become poor in spirit. They recognize their need for God. There's an element where they mourn for those things in their life, and there's forgiveness that's abounding. And then all of a sudden they become meek. In other words, they learn to rely upon God more than upon their own abilities or talents. And then a hunger and thirst takes place. And then a merciful attitude develops. We recognize how we receive so much mercy from God that we become merciful toward people. Some values start to happen in people. Then all of a sudden, there becomes a pure in heart. For those are the ones that start to see God. And then the peacemaker resurrects. They become, as we see, children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And now we hit the eighth one, persecution. Let me just rehearse a little bit, because when you see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, as I read this, you'll catch it because it's progressional. When you become poor in spirit, man, you move on to the next one and you realize, oh man, there are some things I need to trust God in. It says in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me pause right there. What is interesting, because nine times Jesus uses the word blessed, which means a happiness, a fulfillment, a contentment that will not come any other way. And as Jesus is laying out the Beatitudes, one builds upon the other, and what ends up happening with this setting and with those who are saying, man, I want to give my life to the kingdom, how God's cultural values start to focus in my own life, then those who you might still have that are part of the world system, some will say, hey, I'm happy for you, dude. Others, they'll start to say, what are you doing? You're not the same. We used to run together in this fashion. I don't like the way you are. What's going on? And that subtle form of persecution starts to evolve. So when we see here what's taking place, we can see the aspect, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So not only will heaven see your change, but also the world will see your change. And third, somebody else will observe the change going on, will be evil. The demonic forces, hell itself, will notice the change, and it'll start to take place by reason of persecution. Friends, if you haven't seen, change is happening little by little. It's amazing how people are relegating just involvement with church or living for God as just something that, if you have time, whole communities now, once with big church buildings, are really, they just show up for weddings or maybe dedications of their children. Things are changing so. And therefore, as that happens, if people start to say, man, I really want to live for Jesus, Jesus says, listen, persecution's going to come. Matter of fact, Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the word is yes, and all who desire to live godly in this world shall suffer persecution. So today's message, as we wrap things up, if you say, well, you know, I really haven't suffered persecution. This really isn't a message I really need to hear. I'm feeling pretty good about things. I like America. We really let people kind of worship however they want. I don't know if that's a good thing if you've never suffered persecution. It's kind of like somebody that, when I was a freshman in high school, I heard of these individuals that went up to Canada to avoid being drafted into the Vietnam War. They were called draft dodgers. And they had an element of peace, but man, they weren't wanting to be in the battle at all. And I want to just say to you, if you really want to engage and go for God, you see where the Bible says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in this life will suffer persecution. So Jesus was very honest about it. When change starts to happen in your life, and you start bringing in those core values of God's kingdom, it'll take shape. Let's look here for a moment, because our sermon is called Prepping for Persecution. You can see Luke chapter 21. I'm going to Luke chapter 21. We're looking at verse 12 through 19. I'll just hit some notes rather quickly. But it's important for us to recognize, if you aren't feeling a point of push or persecution, or as we described last time we were together, how that really means like in your face or slander or just an attack. Oftentimes when Jesus used the word falsely, we see something that's happening here, because Jesus is talking about what's going to take place prior to his coming. Now, I'm in chapter 21 of Luke, so if you were in Matthew, just go a couple of books to the right. The high water mark is verse 27. Just look at verse 27. I like this verse. It says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We know that as the second coming. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen, and everybody's going to see it. We, as Christians, recognize two big events. One's called the rapture of the church, and you're just gone. And then the seven-year tribulation period happens. And that's that word tribulation is basically men going at it with men. There's no help from God. If we talk wrath of God, that's a tough thing. But, man, that's terrible to have the wrath of God come. That will eventually culminate with a new heaven and new earth. But salvation is now because of Jesus. But to pull back God's kingdom is when men go at each other. And the rapture happens, 7 years takes place, and verse 27, then the Son of Man comes on clouds. And you and I will follow right behind him. But before that happens, let me just highlight a couple of things that are worth noting. Verse 8, there's going to be religious deception. Look at verse 8, still chapter 21. Then he said, take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time was drawn near, therefore do not go after them. So religious deceptions always happen. Jesus said it's always going to take place. For those individuals say, man, there's a lot of religions that are out. How do you know the one? Man, Jesus says there's going to be a lot of people say, this is the way. You got to go my way. And the thing about Christianity is that Jesus makes the way. Every other, you can tell a religion because it is some form of do's and don'ts to obtain some form of paradise or heaven. But because you and I can't maintain that, Therefore, we need a Savior, and his name's Jesus. Verse 9 and 10, international conflict. It says, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. And he said to them, nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. And that Greek word ethnos is basically ethnic groups will be in tension with each other. And that's basically it. So it's not geographical boundaries of a nation. It's really those groups, ethnic groups, that just, you just have your bias and you just don't like the way that person looks. So when we see here, verse 11, the natural disasters, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So I'm just bringing this up today that, I wanted to be kind of encouraged today, Pastor Paul. What's going on here? This is kind of like a downer. But it's important for us to recognize the season that you're living. You're such an honored individual to be born in this day and age, this end run of the marathon. These things are happening prior to the coming of Jesus. And he says in point one of our message, Christ followers, unexpected future, verse 12, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. So we see here as we go down the line, letter A, hated by religious establishment. That was a shocker for those early believers. That to be brought into the synagogue was the court system of that day. Letter B, hated by secular world. In verse 12, brought before those kings and rulers. We see that's happening today. We talked quite a bit about that there. It really, for our nation, started in the 1960s when the Bible was actually removed from the public school. Most understand the New England Primer. Most students understood their ABCs by learning scriptures that started ABC. Then in the same 1960s, prayer was removed from the public school. There's great efforts trying to be brought back to bringing the Bible as literature to be studied. It's a long pull. But we have people now that are wanting to eliminate the Ten Commandments. And you could see, and even the word God in our Pledge of Allegiance, even the word God we trust from our money, so we have those challenges that are taking place and that are happening. We have to be very careful. Well, let's move on just a little bit. Letter C, betrayed by family, verse 16, and you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death, letter D. So when we take a look at this, you just read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you see the amount of martyrs that have happened in this last century, more than all the other centuries, more than all the other 19th centuries and wars. Christians for their faith have been martyred. Check it out. So you and I are seeing persecution that's happening. Point number two, Christ followers, unavoidable factor. We can see here, letter A, because of the person of Christ, Jesus talks about that. In verse 12, still in Luke 21, he says, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So it's not because you were rude. It wasn't because you just kind of like had a different choice of opinion. It's because you bear the name of Jesus and there's a value that you're following of God's kingdom that's different than society that is being turned quickly away from the values of God's kingdom. Letter B, because of Christ's message. So when we see here, it's important because the gospel is still offensive to people, even in Paul's day. Man, it's offensive to those who are perishing. So what we do find is that when we want to help somebody and say, man, why don't you just give your life to Jesus and, man, just see what he does for you. I mean, you could always go back to the muckety muck you were in. Just try him. Go for it. And people often say, well, man, that's what I don't like about you Christians. Man, you all say you got to go it this way. What about these other religions? Well, If there were 485 ways to get to heaven, I would be a faithful pastor and preach all 485 ways to get there. But there's only one. And it's a very narrow path. And it's really through the cross of Jesus. He did that for you. If there's any other way for us to get to heaven, then Jesus would not have had to come. Why would he do that? Why would God leave his glory to take on a form of a human to suffer and die for your sins when you could actually like do it yourself and beat yourself up with a chain and cut yourself with a knife? Man. So therefore, it's a narrow path, but guess what? It's open for everybody. Everybody gets to come into that path. Therefore, it's important for us, but that message, what causes persecution, especially once again from the religious establishment that does not acknowledge Jesus. Number three, Christ's unwavering followers, we see so clearly. Look at verse 18. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. Isn't that amazing? What does he mean? I mean, when I read that, I said, man, that, I'm claiming that one. That means I am not a singed critter on my little brow. No way. I'm not going to face persecution. But this is a term that when people read that, they understood this. It literally was like this. No skin off my back. What he means by that is that when you face persecution, like Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted, be rejoicing, exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Great. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. You're not going to just barely squeak in there. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. So friends, when you get there, you're going to say, man, no skin off my back. That was a piece of cake. Look at that. That's what he means. That's what he means. When you face persecution and your friends leave you, your boyfriend cuts out on you, your family stops calling you to the social events because you knew it's going to cost you something. When I started giving my life to Jesus, all of my 19 buddies that would call me up when the stash came on Friday, they stopped calling me. I had to find friends. It was kind of a lonely season for a young man. It can be lonely at times. It can almost be tempting to go back down to the thirsty turtle. At least the social down, you know what I mean? The old cheer song, everybody knows your name. No, they don't. They don't give a rip. If you buy the stuff, they'll like you. So, no skin off my back. When you get to heaven and you have sacrificed for the sake of Christ, have you ever been persecuted? Has somebody stopped being your friend because you said, I'm now going with God? So when we see here so clearly, rest in his promise, letter A, so important. And finally, B, remain perseverant. Look at verse 19 of Luke 21. By your patience, possess your souls. Now, that's an interesting phrase because here's the problem. Life is good, and then life gets bad, and usually when it gets bad, people say, I quit. I started liking to volunteer until it became tough. Now I don't want to do it anymore. And it's the same with people who are living for God. And when persecution hits, somebody might say, see, that's a sign I shouldn't be doing this. There is an amount of testimony that circulates every now and then with young Christians. The closer I get to God, the more the devil's after me. I have all kinds of problems. Lose my job. People are upset with me. It's a story. You might have even said that. So you back off a little bit. We sit down with individuals, and I actually end up saying, "What, man, let's just press through that and just come against it in the name of Jesus, because even that profession of a negative faith will wipe you out." So when we see here, stay the course, stay the course, keep on going. Jesus' promise, be patient. Man, you're going to possess your soul. How do we stay the course? Letter C, back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says so clearly, number one, shine your light. Two, spread your salt. When we wrap things up now with this message, so significant, shine your light. Share Christ with people. One of the things about just how light is that when Jesus says that we're light, doesn't say try to be light, it says you already are. Light dispels darkness. So Jesus is already saying, listen, the world is dark. Jesus, what's your opinion on this planet? I think you should have done something better. Yeah, it's dark. It's dark. And so he's implying the world is dark and you are the light of the world. Friends, you're it. You're it. You say, man, this is a creepy place that I'm at where I work or go to school. Yeah, it's dark. He's implying it's dark. And you're the light of the world. Then he says, you're the salt of the earth. One thing about salt, I'm sure you're aware of that. It's pretty neat. When you're up in Oregon, you see certain people that will salt the fish they clean and on the Rogue River or just kind of their fresh game. But salt's a preservative. When you smear it on the meat, it preserves it. Then before refrigeration, they use salt to preserve meat. It stops decay. It stops the decay. So when we look at this, Jesus could easily say the world is dark and it's decaying. And you're the only hope to stop the decay. Something about salt, too, it adds flavor, doesn't it? Jesus mentioned in Matthew 5, you are the salt, verse 13, of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Keep going, friends. You are the ones that add flavor. The other thing about salt, it gets you thirsty. I hope that how you handle yourself today and just by going to work or school and say, man, I was at church Sunday and I just felt like, man, I've never felt that before. I just feel like God was really in that place. Tell somebody. That will make them thirsty to say, maybe I should check that out. Because people are looking for something. Salt stops decay and it gives flavor. And it does make people thirsty. That's probably why when we go to fast foods, we get so thirsty, huh, honey? Like, and then we can't get our rings on. We're swollen from all the salt. No, I throw that out there. But you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You don't have to be. You don't have. He already says you are. But man, hold on. You're going to be blessed. Persecution will come. That's why we come into Hope Chapel and tell our stories and let God heal us and put our lives together so that we can go back out there because there's a world. People in our lives will only find out about Jesus Christ through you. If they don't see Jesus in you, they won't see Jesus. They will not see Jesus. There's enough facade in religious institutions to block people from actually experiencing Jesus. You are the light of the world, salt of the earth. Let's stand to our feet. John's going to lead us in a song, and I want to pray that blessing over you. But even as we do, would you just make that peace with God? And you know people that need help. Maybe even as we sing, God would use you in some way, in some fashion. Sean?
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails, and you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Thank you, Sean. Another word came to mind, and thank you, Ainsley. There's always that area of just fear that comes, and Jesus said in Luke's gospel, don't fear somebody that could harm your body. Remember that, friends? But he says, this is who you should fear. That one that can not only harm your body, but cast you into hell. But don't fear man. And I want to just even pray that. No fear of man. Sometimes people can't even speak publicly because we get afraid. And so I just want to pray that off. But Jesus says, don't fear. And if he says, don't fear, then there's got to be a way out of that. Let me just even pray with you right now as we just stand for a moment. Lord, we want to thank you. Lord, the world really needs the individuals who are in this room. And there's great hope for America, great hope. But where there would be elements of thoughts that just say, no, you're going to lose everything if you even tell somebody to come to church with you. We just come against that element of fear of man to be gone in the name of Jesus. That Lord, even now, that there would be among us those that would say, even if it costs me everything, I'm going to follow Jesus. But Lord, we ask right now, we need your help. Lord, we look for your help, and we long for your ability. So even those who are here and may have never given their lives to Jesus as their Savior and Lord, then I just invite you right now to quietly within your heart say this simple prayer. It goes like this: Dear Jesus, I believe in you, and I give my life to you today. Wash me clean from my sins. Set me free to serve you, and I trust you, Lord, for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Can we just thank the Lord for that? We're sure grateful for that. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.